Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer, and just like the Palace first team, we're going to hold off till April for our first pod slash win. Joining me today is Dale Quarty.
Ned Rock in Melbourne and Marky Werner in Tinderville. How are you boys?
Fourth wall breaking time. Rob Seltzer, who is not currently here while I'm editing this, has just lied to you. Much like the Adelaide meetup where Dale and Rob were unable to make it. For this recording of the podcast, Mark and I decided to return the favour. So, while there is plenty to discuss at Selhurst Park, we will be interspersing the depressing series of events that are happening over in South London with some much happier, if not equally controversial, drunken petanque highlights from our national meetup in Adelaide. But to get us started today, we will cut back to a bit of a conversation that Rob Seltzer and Dale Quarty had a couple of days ago regarding the appointment of Roy Hodgson and the dismissal of Patrick Vieira.
There's no point in talking about the games because there's only one thing to talk about. The return of Roy.
That's
what we shall talk about. I mean, Christ, what has gone on there?
Yeah, look, we were just saying before we started recording, I was in the gym this morning and someone asked me how I felt and I just said angry. I just don't see how a 10-year Premier League club finds themselves in a predicament where they wanted to sack a manager for, well, 13 months ago, apparently, and now you're in a situation where you're turning back to somebody who, yeah, did a great job with us. It was brilliant, nice and stable, but, yeah, God, it was awful to be a part of, wasn't it?
Oh, I mean, I've seen some lineups on Twitter, and I mean, I know a lot of it's tongue in cheek, but some of it you can see happening is like, you know, Tompkins back at centre back, Ward at right back, Macca and Luca in the middle, IU up top. Like, oh, we can't go back to it.
But the annoying thing is, though, right? If it is IU up top and it's Zaha left and Elise right. Yeah, all right, we'll go with it. My concern is if we rock up in the first game, you said the first game does have Macca and Luca in centre mid and Tompkins at centre back. I think, look, before we like go into Roy and why we don't want Roy or whatever else, let's talk about Pat. So if the rumours are true that he basically gone bananas, I wasn't talking to anyone. I get it. Position is pretty much untenable. But the reality is, hey, we lost 1-0 to Man City, 75th minute penalty. We drew with Liverpool, drew with United, drew with Newcastle. Yeah, they lost to Villa and they lost to Brighton. Like, second halves of those games were awful. But losing 1-0, solid defence, silly mistakes, giving games away. The players obviously were still trying. Have obviously still been trying. The Tottenham game aside, was the only game I think we capitulated, really. And Fulham was just woeful. I'll give them that. But you know, and in this run, I just feel that, I don't know. Like, if it is true about Vieira, and I get it, but as I said to you as well, to have him potentially chopping block for 13 months and the best you can come up with is Hodgson, I mean, I don't know.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I heard somewhere today, and let's start with your, before we kind of jump into defending Pat, which I'm going to do in a second. I think one win in 17 is awful. It's absolutely shocking. Like, we've won one game in 17. That's relegation form, and there's definitely pressure needs to be had there. Caveat, yes, the teams we've played have been all what top half, all of them, and most of them top six. We played, you know, we played United twice, we played Brighton twice. You know, that's silly. That teams in silly form, and I agree with everything you're saying. That let's take. Only we've been close against City. Look, we could see the penalty against City, and City's next two games have been 7-1 and 6-0. And one of those is in the Champions League. That's crazy talk. Crazy talk. I think there has to be something else that's happened behind the scenes. Has to have been. You don't sack a manager that's been through that run of games. Okay, we've only got 4 points. But with the games coming up, you have to give them those games. You have to. As you say, Dale, like, the players hadn't thrown in the towel. They're running for him. You could see that. If we, and I know this is if, buts, and maybes, I get that. But if Jordan Ayew makes any other decision against Brentford, we were 1-0. Any other decision apart the one he made, literally. He keeps the ball, passes it to Hamada. He just kicks it into the corner. He gives it to Edouard. He turns around and goes backwards. Anything apart from what he did, we were 1-0. If Mateta wasn't a complete donkey and couldn't hit a barn door, we beat Liverpool 1-0. He missed an open goal from 6 yards at the end of the day. We win that game. You know, if Wilf was breathing in instead of breathing out against Villa, goal stands, we're 1-0 up. You know, we'd probably go on to win that game, I dare say. That's 3 wins in a row. All of a sudden, this is a completely different rhetoric. You know, Brighton as well. If Edouard's header should have scored.
There's one-on-one.
Yeah, we could have been 2-0 up in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not on Vieira. He doesn't make those players a miss. But, like, that's 4 games there that we picked up 2 points from that we could have had 12. So we're minus 10. We lost 10 points there of just 4. And now, yes, I know the caveat to that is the Brighton game at home. We picked up a point where we were absolutely destroyed and they had a goal disallowed that shouldn't have been. I get that. But facts being, we were in games. I don't think Vieira, so something must have happened in the back behind the scenes. I don't think Vieira's helped himself with some of his selections. You know, why is he messing around? Like, we all know. Wilf left, Eze middle, Elise right, someone up top, Edouard, Ayew, Mateta, who knows? None of them are going to score, so you might as well put Ayew up there. But don't play Schlupp in the middle. Like, start Hughes. I mean, fuck it, start Jairo Reid. Well, at least a central midfielder.
I don't think like the Schlupp thing was the issue, though. I think the bigger issue is the fact that you look at the games where we haven't played Richards, for example, right?
Yes.
When he played against United and he owned Anthony in a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Base.
Mind-boggling.
That, you know, why is he not playing? And I know Paddy McCarthy did the same. You can ask him the same. I'm sure Paddy McCarthy's excuse will be, well, I basically had to go with what we would work on for the week. Go get it. But why are we not playing Richards? If he's not playing centre-back, when if Gerhi or Anderson's injured, he should be playing right-back. The fact that we are going to enter another transfer window and everyone's going to say we need a right back, we need a left back, we need a centre mid, it just shows what I think potentially may have happened behind the scenes, because there's no way. And look, good comments made again, which I heard earlier today. Whatever you thought of Christian Benteke, whatever you thought of him, we sold him. And he wasn't replaced, right? And I made this point in the preview pod. The squad wasn't stronger, right? Lost Gallagher, and everyone argued with me that we had a better squad. We lost Gallagher. We lost Cheku Kouate. It's two players. We replaced him with Chep Dikura, right? So immediately, you're not stronger, right? Jimmy Max, 34, 35 at the time, constantly injured. Luca, every single person saw his form has fallen off a cliff and wasn't fit to be playing, right? Lovely guy, good professional, he's not kicking up a stink, but obviously not good enough to play. Now, we've retrospectively in January gone, oh crap, this really is bad. Hey, Nouri Hamada, come to us and sit on the bench. And Sambi Lokonga, your play. It's good, Sambi Lokonga, great. But you know what? We're going to be in the same situation in the summer as we were last summer because he's not ours. Right, and then we've got, I think I saw the other day, about 9 players out of contract. And again, regardless of what you think of them, Schlupp, Ayew, Ward, Klein, this Zaha, we're going to be in this same situation again. So, what we're going to rebuild again, get a manager in, rebuild, and in 18 months' time, when we hit a bad run of form, oh no, Roy.
Exactly.
So I think the issue for me is, and we can go into the Texter Harris Blitzer thing all we want, right? The bottom line is those guys would, whilst they're not happy to sanction us spending billions, they would obviously, I believe they would have, if they want their investment to go anywhere near, if Harris and Blitzer want to buy Chelsea, they have to sell Palace, right? So there is no point in them running us into the ground and then trying to sell. They should actually go, yeah, I need a left back, we'll buy a left back, we'll buy a right back, because then you've got an asset that you can actually sell. So I don't know if that necessarily is the issue. What I think the bigger issue is Texter.
Massive,
Fair
yeah.
play, you called it out earlier, those concerns about Texter. And I think that's maybe what you've got to look at more.
And we'll come back to that chat with Dale and Rob about the hierarchy of the club and where potentially those problems lie a little bit later on in the pod. But to break up the doom and gloom, we're going to cut now to the national meetup. A couple of months ago, held in Adelaide, began on the Friday night, and 11 minutes into the pod, we still haven't heard from everybody's favourite exiled Eagle, Mark Werner, but he was there at the Cumberland Arms to catch up with Pat, who runs the Adelaide side of things, who until very recently we were unaware that he had even existed. Marky Werner, take it away.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Pat, who's, let's say, the governor of the Adelaide wing of the Crystal Palace supporters group and home of the national meetup here for 2023. COVID is behind us. We're all strapping ahead with our travels. Good evening, Pat. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Mark. Yeah.
That's why. Mate, so we're here in your fair city for the first time for a national meetup. We've been doing these for 5 or 6 years now, hit all the capitals. You guys were kind of pseudo last on the list, not by any choice other than you were fairly quiet on the social, so all the noisy children got tended to first, and you guys are kind of at the back of the line. But it was fantastic to run into you and meet you and a couple of the other guys in Melbourne, and we've cobbled this together, mate, so it's happening now, which is great and exciting. We're all here. How do you feel about it? How did it come about, and what are your hopes for it?
Yeah, well, I guess how it came about, I was kind of told people are coming to Adelaide, so it's a bit of a we'll organise it or you can kind of a thing. So thought it probably a good thing to put my hand up and, yeah, organise a couple of things. And, yeah, it's been absolutely magnificent. Like, you know, I've kind of had a couple of interactions with people from different states before, but not a whole lot because, you know, we've tried to keep ourselves mostly underground and so that no one knows that we're here, but we've it's nice to kind of have our heads above the parapet a bit and meet some people. It's been great meeting you know, yourself and the other guys from the other states who organise things, and just to be in a place with a lot of Palace fans is actually absolutely magnificent, and just feels really special. So yes, it's really good.
So we're here for the meetup, which generally includes, for those of you who don't know or follow the pod, an A-League game, which we're tending to tomorrow, Adelaide, obviously, playing here at home against the might of Brisbane Roar, which is where I've hailed from. So I do have my my kit on hand. I'll be doing a bit of a switcheroo for the 90 minutes tomorrow. Mate, credit to you for cobbling this together, because, yeah, as you say, that's quite right. We, how should I say, had the shits with your radio silence and thought, fuck them, we'll infiltrate and we'll go and do this thing ourselves. And in meeting between then and now, it's come to pass, and Pat's put this together for the weekend for everyone that's come here nationwide. And for those of you who don't know or don't live in this fair country, it's a big country. So people come from far and wide. We've got a few activities on for the weekend. Pat, do you want to run us through a few of those, mate?
Yeah, so obviously, as you said, we're at the Cumberland Arms here tonight. And I guess I also wanted to say that, you know, you don't really get to hang out in a pub with a bunch of Palace fans very often, other than when you actually go into Palace games and you're there at Selhurst Park. So, you know, having that somewhere like this is, yeah, completely brilliant. So tomorrow we're going to play some batonk, or other people know it as bocce, other people know it as ball. But yeah, so we'll spend the afternoon throwing some balls at other balls and having a few beers. And that should be, you know, I think the reason we chose that is just for, I think it should be quite a good social thing. Then we'll go to Adelaide United in the evening. As you said, we're playing against Brisbane Roar. Highmark Stadium's a nice little place to go and watch football. It's a little bit more chilled than Selhurst Park, I would say. It's a good place to go. You know, we all miss Selhurst Park, but Adelaide United's quite a good replacement. And then we can all see if we can cling on until about 1:30 in the morning to watch Palace against Man United. I'll be really interested to see if I or anyone else can make it that far. I'm sure a lot of people will, but it's going to be a long day, all in all. But you know, it's going to be a lot of fun because, you know, we've all met each other. I've met a lot of people, and other people are kind of reconnecting, obviously, from previous meets. And it's going to be a really good fun day. There's rumours of a survivor's breakfast on Sunday morning, which I will not survive. But I'm sure some people will be there, and then we'll have a really good weekend of it, I think.
And Pat was right on basically everything he said. A good weekend was had. Very few people did make the survivor's breakfast. And it was a very large day the next day. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get any audio recording of Ned 2.0. But to give you a rough idea of just how big the following day was, here's John Bright discussing Mark's identification.
I wasn't allowed to come in because I had a photograph of my current driving licence, crystal clear as well, by the way, where you can read all the numbers, and Mr. Burner, which you couldn't actually read on his blurb, this thing, it looked like Justin Bieber had had a baby with, like, you know, some, like, tango man. It doesn't even look anything like Mark. And he gets in, and they don't let me in. It's an absolute robbery. But, you know, it's appalling. Adelaide is a city of rules. Apparently, it's a city of churches. I don't like it, really.
Now, to any of our Adelaide listeners, I'm sure John was exaggerating at the end there, as we all had a wonderful weekend. And we'll revisit some more content from there a little bit later on in the pod. But for now, we're just going to return to Dale and Seltz having a bit of a chat about the hierarchy of our club and who really is to blame for the situation we currently find ourselves in.
Harrison Blitzers certainly aren't without criticism, I don't think. I think if they wanted to spend the money, they could literally say to Parrish, he's 400 million, do it. I mean, they're billionaires, right? If they say to Parrish, he's 400 million, go buy who we need to buy, they'd do it, but they haven't. I mean, was it Harris has just spent $6 billion on the Washington Commanders NFL team? And I was reading part of that, some responses to it. One guy said, owning an NFL team is like having a cash machine. Mm-hmm. So, because there's a wage cap, so the players can't players can only get paid a certain amount. All the merchandise, all the stuff that goes in the league, he'll get a return on investment in like 3 years' time off $6 billion. That is crazy money. You're not going to make that money at a football club. It's a money drain. Texter, we have let in a snake oil salesman there, and that's on Parrish. Parrish let him in. So for me, unfortunately, I think Parrish has taken us as far as he can go. That he don't. Everyone says he's not that worthy. I wouldn't be in mind selling my company for £300 million. I'd take it, but look. I get it, in the world of that we're living in now, he's not wealthy enough, unfortunately, to be a Premier League chairman. Now, some Parrish highlights for me that I think say certain things. At the start of this season, when he said in December the squad's good enough, he was hoping we could sneak by another budget. Vieira keeps us up comfortably. He's willful leave, but they can, and they'd sell I said, sell Gehi or Elise this summer, make 60, 70 mil off that, and then reinvest so I don't have to spend loads of money out of their pocket. Another classic Parish. When we had Benteke and he was our only striker we had, because I think Conor Wickham was on the books, but what's the point in Conor Wickham? He'd sold one of our strikers, or he didn't sign anyone, didn't sign a striker. I think we had Eddie Bayer on loan and he went, or on a short-term deal. And people were like, Parish, you've got to buy a striker, buy a striker. And then Parish tweeted, like, someone said to him, like, what happens if Benteke gets injured? And then Parish was like, well, what happens if the sun doesn't come up tomorrow? And then the next day, Benteke got injured and we didn't have any strikers. We were a Premier League football club with no strikers, like no out-and-out strikers.
The scary thing is that we're, as I said, 10 years down the path and we carry on. I was going to say we carry on like a team that's in its first year in the league. We don't, because a team in its first year in the league spends tons of money,
absolutely.
And I've got friends who aren't Palace fans who say that Vieira was backed in the transfer market. I solely disagree. He wasn't
backed.
The money we spent last season was because we had to have, like, we had a squad of 17 players, so we had to buy players, otherwise we couldn't, that we'd fall foul of FA rules. To me, a manager being backed, and this is an extreme example, but is Steve Cooper.
Cooper, Graham Potter.
They've literally gone to Cooper. What do you need? And it's, I need 75 players. All right, you can have 76. All right, that's backing a manager to get like, that's what it is, not what we do.
No.
So, and the other thing is, you talk about selling Gerhi and Elise. Why would we? Where's the proof in our history that we would do that?
Not that, because, that's the other bit. That's the other concern, right?
Because we don't sell anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've been bought to be sold, and I think they're trying to change the model by buying players like them. Like, they were younger, they were coming, they weren't in their prime. We bought people in their prime, and then they declined. Then we just held on to them because they were good for us. But we bought no one. Gehi was unproven. Proven himself to be a fantastic, fantastic centre back, right? But he was good at Swansea. He'd never played in the Premier League, and we took the gamble, right? So we've done that. But my concern is, you say Dale, like, we'll get someone in the summer. Who comes? Name me a manager.
Someone comes, because ultimately, there's always, it's football, there's always someone with the ego who says, I can do it. Regardless, it's like when someone buys a Benteke, for example, and goes, I can get him scoring. There's always someone with the ego. Yep. So we don't know who it will be. There could be someone in Germany or France whose ego has been bruised, who needs a job to get back in. And they know that if I go and do something right, like even just for 18 months, they get a job, they get another job. So there's always somebody. It just won't be anyone we've heard of. It might just be someone we don't know.
Well, look, I'm happy for that. But like, that's my biggest concern is that we are now a really unattractive proposition, right? We've got the backroom shit that's going on, the boardroom shit that's going on, really unstable. Parry said what you said about, you know, we're moving on, we're trying this project. And they, from the outside looking in, someone looking at it said, we're going to try this project. As you said, they backed him in one window, the window where we bought Elise and Gehi and Anderson. That was a good window. You know, we plugged a couple of holes there. That was the start of it. So they gave him that, and I'm like, here we go. Edouard as well came in that window. And then they haven't backed him since. And then they sack him because he's gone and run. And with this squad is so threadbare. So you're not going to get a manager that's on the way up that thinks, sweet, this is my next step. This is my stepping stone. You're not going to get...
You get someone who's done okay, but ultimately failed somewhere. That's what you get. Or you get a Nathan Jones type out of a lower league who, again, has the ego to say, I can do it.
But then you've got to put it in.
That comes with its own issues.
100%. Then who? Well, I mean, I know money talks with players, right? I get that. But then you've got a player who's got the opportunity. Because let's be honest, we're in the same pool, fishing through the same pond as your West Hams, your Villas, your Everton's, your Brighton's.
I don't think we are, mate. I don't think we are. We're in a pond play because Villa have gone and got Count Dracula as their coach, right? So he...
Talking about where we finish in the league.
Sorry, I'll put you somewhere out of the manager.
No. So, but for players, right? So, because as you said, clubs can only have a certain amount of players on their squad, but we'll be interested in all the same players as those clubs, guaranteed. That we know West Ham want all our players anyway. We are the least attractive option at the moment for anyone. So whether it's Parrish, they come to meet Parrish and he's like, right, what's the plan? This is the plan. Player turns around and says, what happened to Vieira? Like, you know, look at Wilf. Look at Wilf. Penny for his thoughts. You know? Well, like you said at the start. Penny for Elise's thoughts.
But the reality is, right, this is, I think, the Wilf thing is a bit of a classic, right, where it's all about Palace. The reality is we should have sold him 3 years ago.
Absolutely. Like, but we couldn't afford to.
Like, oh, well, we say that, but I think under Roy, back then, we would have been okay because he had that pragmatic approach. He would have got in somebody. He would have plugged.
Would he, though?
Yeah, he would have done, mate, because he found ways. I mean, we can't deny. I know we did it because we had Wilf and we finished 12th and 14th, whatever. But, like, Hodgson, when he has a pre-season and that, he finds a way. I mean, he just does, right? The club, like what Wilf has done for the club and where we are now is, you know, as much on him as it is on anyone else, on Parrish or anyone who saved the club in 2010. But the reality is we could have sold him, we could have made a heap of money, and who knows where that money could have been put back into the squad and where we could be now. We don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen in this season is most likely we're going to lose Wilf. Yeah, we're going to clear 160 grand a week off the books. But we probably won't have the financial clout to go and buy anyone who can be a new Wilf.
And not even close.
We don't sell that.
Not even close. We can't get any close to that.
And on the bombshell that Dale wants to sell Wilf, or wanted to sell Wilf, which we've all known for years because he hates him, it's time to head back to, let's be honest, the real reason everyone has tuned into the pod, the Petonk in Adelaide at the national meetup.
So here at the Club de Petonk d'Adelaide, avec mon ami Jimmy Fletcher, who has already spoken and suggested that no one wants to hear from sober Jimmy, but we do. Jimmy, how are you going?
Très bon.
C'est magnifique. I congratulate you on your accent. How are you feeling about the upcoming Petonk Championships? Confident?
I'm excited. First of all, impressed by the spread they put on. It's definitely a first for a national meetup to have canapes. Oh, and Paul Shelley just brought me a beer, so things are looking up. I know Paul's the most excited guy to be here, and he loves playing with balls, so he should be right at home.
Excellent. Well, it sounds good. Obviously, we're practicing at the moment. Just going to put it out there. We'll have an exiled Eagles team with myself and Marky Werner, who, having seen him throw a couple of balls, it doesn't feel like it's his first time. He feels like he's a bit of an expert. Jimmy was okay, but not great. We're watching Beer Brave Dave at the moment. What are your thoughts on the technique that Dave's just playing?
I found out something about Dave recently. He was an ex-semi-professional 10-pin bowler at youth level, and that's not even a joke.
Things I didn't know.
He competed for England in the 2004 Summer Games in Helsinki. Helsinki against Streatham, I think it was. And he came third, so he was a real promising up-and-coming bowler, but he suffered a vicious wrist injury. When the internet started to
due to being a complete wanker,
he had to hang up his balls.
So he's just thrown one there, and that's not bad. He's got an area. We've got Matt Phillips is competing with him at the moment in a bit of practice, and I'd say Dave's got him covered very comfortably. He's about to throw his second ball, and I take it back. That's horrendous.
He's got to his head.
As we were, we've tripped him out, but. Yeah, anything else you'd like to add, Jimmy, before we...
Not really, just feeling very welcome in Adelaide. Looking forward to seeing where we're going to end up next year. I think this afternoon we're going to have a vote, and looking forward to a brand new destination to spread the good word about the red and blue.
Thank you for thanks for having a chat. I might head over now and just have a quick chat to good old Beer Brave Dave, who was throwing a couple of balls. He looked okay for a moment, and then he looked awful. Thoughts on the old Club de Pétanque?
Well, just arrived. Seems like a nice venue. Not really sure about the game yet, but we'll see how we go.
Can you confirm Jimmy's rumours about being a former youth professional tenpin bowler?
Not professional, no.
Semi-professional.
I mean, you don't make money from it.
Semi-professional, sorry.
A long time ago.
He's not denying it.
Okay, well, as far as I'm concerned, there was a rumour, and it's going to be posted on the internet, so now it's fact. Yeah. Before we go, Mark's got one word to say.
Can I just add quickly, I was also a league bowler.
Here
as
we
a youth.
Go!
So game on, motherfuckers.
Here we go.
Sounds like a bowl up to me. Okay, so we're closing in towards the end of the round one. Well, potentially towards the end of round one. Exide Eagles currently a 10-0 leaders. Yes, you haven't. Don't adjust your podcast listening devices. It is Mark Werner and Ned Rock 10. Scott Englefield and Paul Shelley 0. Are you guys confident you could potentially get a point? Because we've been informed by the official people here that host it that there's a lovely sort of little zip lining place next door that if you lose to nil, you have to do the whole zip lining circuit naked.
We thought, what better way to make a mark on Adelaide than doing a nudie zip run after playing riveting balls against these bastards. Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard that in the background, but the words from Scott Ingerfield were for fuck's sake, because Mark's just gone first yet again.
Mark's
has thrown one incredibly close to the cochonnet or whatever it's called. We'll go, the little yellowy thing is probably the most appropriate. Scott or Paul, one of you is up. I'm getting quite used to this game. Is effectively what I have to do is I allow Mark to throw first. I then let Scott and Paul waste their six ball. And then I ensure that I don't knock Mark's out of the way. It's fantastic for me. It's very easy. But I say that and Paul Shelley, wowee, has just thrown a superb Pétanque ball, which means I'm going to actually have to try here. So I'll hand you over to Mark Werner. One moment.
All right, the other plonkers have put us under the pump here. They've come out of the blocks strong. So Ned's going to try and better his first throw. Get us closer to the... that'll do it. That'll do it. Well done, Ned. Well done. Take a bow.
I have just taken a bow. Obviously, this is an audio medium, so the bow was wasted. But, yeah, turns out the points... I'll tell you what, not bad from Scott, but I think it's still us. So still a few balls to play. I mean, who thought that this could be so entertaining? But I'll tell you what, this is a very tight round, this one.
That's true. It is a tight affair, and being a tight affair, it's going to be even harder to get our balls in there. But anyway, we'll try.
But in the end, it wasn't too tight for that first one as we stormed ahead to an 11-0 lead. Before eventually taking what turned out to be a practice game against Scott and Paul very, very comfortably, which sent us into the main tournament with incredible confidence. Before we got started, though, I caught up with Alan, who runs the Pétanque Club in Adelaide.
See, here at the Pétanque, as we've already established, Mark and I clearly going to win 13-0 round one, very easy. But I'm here with Alan, who is running the show here at the Club de Pétanque in Adelaide. Thank you for hosting us.
That's right. Welcome, Crystal Palace, Scott, boys and girls. Lovely to have you.
Absolutely. So, obviously, I assume that football club supporter groups are your main clientele.
Yeah. So, Club de Pétanque to Adelaide. On the corner of Green Hill and Unley Road, caters for corporate, social and sports groups. So we've had doctors groups, obviously Crystal Palace today, cricket clubs and a variety of other groups and people that want to come along, enjoy the parklands and play Pétanque.
Oh, perfect. Let's see, it's been a lovely day out. Lovely day out so far. We're not being rained on at the moment, which is good. Put on a fantastic spread. A little bit of something a little bit different for a meetup, which is quite nice. So how did this all sort of end up? I know Pat got in touch with you a bit, but how did this
end up?
Yeah, so
Patrick contacted us about 6 or 7 months ago, and it kind of grew from there. It was a small group, and then it got bigger. And he wanted to do a show for the Crystal Palace fans in Australia before you go off to the footy tonight, football as opposed to footy. And I said, look, yeah, come on down, we'll throw on a barbecue, make it a good day for you, play a bit of petanque, do some skills and enjoy the day before you head into town.
Fantastic, as I say, much appreciated. Petanque itself, obviously, you know, we'll take ourselves off as the leading Crystal Palace fan podcast with you know, relating to, I think we can, we're already the number one Crystal Palace, Australian-based Crystal Palace podcast in the country, but I think we've got an opportunity now to be the number one Australian-based Crystal Palace fan podcast that talks about petanque. Could you tell us a little bit about your involvement with the game?
So, I retired about 3 years ago, and found that playing petanque was a way for me to get involved in community without overcommitting myself too much. It's an easy game to play. It's for all skill sets, all ages, all competencies. We have people with major medical issues, arthritis, disabilities, aged, who come and play petanque. You can have a glass of wine. It's probably the only sport where you can actually stand, have a drink at the same time as you're doing right now.
Can clarify.
And play a game. So yeah, it's good for everyone, kids included.
Absolutely. Well, as I say, thank you very much for hosting us. It's been a wonderful day so far. I look forward to the back end of it, where Mark and I get to get our hands on the
gold medal,
the success.
Yeah.
So far, my understanding of the game is Mark gets to go first. He throws the ball closest to the cochonnet, is
it? That's correct, yep.
Close to the cochonnet. The other team wastes their six ball, and then I get to throw mine
very good
anywhere else, and then Mark gets two attempts. So
that's
my understanding of the game
well
so far. It's working.
Well.
It's working a treat for us
good
at the moment, and hopefully we'll
pick up
the medal at the end.
Thanks, folks. Thanks, Crystal Palace. Thanks, Patrick, and thanks, everyone.
Cheers. Thank you.
And with the formalities all over, it was time for the serious petanque business. The might of the Exide Eagles taking on everyone else. It was surely a foregone conclusion at this stage that the Exiled Eagles would be taking home the coveted petanque gold medal. Here's how it unfolded.
So into the second lot of throws here. I'm just going to put it out there. Mark Werner has found his game. This is genuinely incredible stuff. He's kind of ruining the whole tournament, to be honest, because he basically takes the first throw and gets to a point where no one's going to get anywhere closer. As we head over, I've got Dan here from Adelaide, who I was out with last night. Arguably the most drunk human being I've ever seen in my life. Dan, how are you feeling this morning?
Pretty rough.
That makes sense. I think at some point yesterday, I had to assist Dan with one of the sort of basic human functions of standing. But I'm glad to see he's alive. So that's a definite positive. As he comes back this way, Mark, I've just been effectively describing your petanque skills. You're kind of ruining the tournament, to be honest. I think you might have to sort of, you know, maybe just ease up on that. Ease up.
Dump it down.
Ease up.
Exactly.
Come on, I have been known to ruin things in the past. Not usually for my skills, but my lack of. But today, I'm the cream's rise to the top.
I'll tell you what. Nah, it's good from Paul, but it's probably not quite good enough. Not enough. Not enough is the exact wording from our official referee, who is using the very professional petanque stick that has been picked up off the ground. Scott's just... I'm not sure if he's playing the same game, to be honest.
Stunning game, this, to describe in an audio medium, I must say, as well. Ned, to close it out here, holding two is the call. My last couple of throws were rubbish, but I started strong. Ned's gone straight through the same channel I did. There's a slick line through there, and it's Bull gets a head of steam up if he hits there. Yeah, last throw for the win. And not bad, not great.
Okay, some serious business here. My last throw was given a slight nudge to Scott and Paul's ball, and it's very difficult to tell who's is closest to claim the point. We've gone for VAR. Rob has obviously already, he's not here, but he's argued that the referee was wrong. And the official tape measure is now coming out. The random stick off the ground hasn't been able to determine who is winning. So the official tape measure is required for the points here. I'm not sure if our referee has quite realised that none of us really care that much who claims the points. But Scott, it's what are your thoughts? Scott says definitely his. I say definitely ours. He's changed his mind. This is close. The official measurement coming in. Exiled Eagles. Not quite 10 inches. 9.8 inches is the measurement for the Exiled Eagles. That one's definitely longer. So there's no questions here. The second one, the Scotty Englefield and Paul Shelley bull. It's definitely over. Exiled Eagles take a point. One point for the Exiled Eagles. A 4-0 lead heading into round three.
Insurmountable.
And the word insurmountable being used there by Mark Werner to describe what can only be a flawless opening couple of rounds from the Exiled Eagles team to the Petonk. We'll return back for the final results of that a little bit later. But for now, we'll return to Dale and Rob discussing what they think might happen in the last 10 games of the season.
Question for you. What happens now? Next 10 games, where do we finish? What happens?
That's a massive question, right? And it's a big if. If we beat Leicester, we win 5 of the last 10 and we'll stay up comfortably. If we lose to Leicester, then we're in big trouble as it is. But if we lose Leicester, I don't see us getting out of it. Simply don't.
I think you're very optimistic to say we'll win 5 or 10 when we've won 6 or 28.
Yeah. I mean, maybe like slightly more, but I reckon we win like 2 or 3. So we win 3 or 4 out of the last 10. Stay up comfortably if we beat Leicester.
Yeah, 4 out of the last 10, we're on 39 points. We stay up. I reckon there's 3 wins, 3 draws, and 4 defeats, and we still stay up.
I'll take that. Bite your hand off of that. That's right now.
A mate of mine said the biggest concern he is a Paris fan. Biggest concern he has is that we stay up relatively comfortably.
Yeah, Roy stays as you. No chance. That's not happening.
That's his concern.
There's no way.
I would like to agree with you and say no way. That's just his concern. And I think it's...
I get it. I certainly get it.
Yeah.
Question for you, then. Does Parrish come back from this with the fan base?
Yeah, because the football fans are fickle. And if you read social media, which is the worst thing to read, it's just...
I love it. Twitter. Yeah, baby.
It's successful, but every week you've got 50% of people saying what we need is to go to the championship and get rid of all the plastics.
Oh,
and you've got the other 50% who say, well, we don't want to go down because the Premiership's where it's at. So I think ultimately he comes back from it, he's fine. But I think there'd be a portion of people for whom they will now constantly look at Parrish and question whether he is the right person to take our club forward. And by that, the question is, I think, not is he the right person, but does the club want to go forward? And if they do, is he that person to do it?
I will slightly disagree with you, and I don't think he ever gets back the full trust of the fan base ever again. He gave the big speech, the big spiel about how we're moving on. This is the club. And at the first sign of trouble, he's bailed.
Yeah,
and we're back at Roy.
Forget that. If in the summer he signs, I don't know, the ex Mönchengladbach manager, Adi Hotlo, whatever his name is, they get him, they get a few good signings, and they finish the season in 10th, the following season in 10th, it'll be Patrick who.
Patrick who, absolutely.
No, it'll be on Parrish that we got to where we are. So I think...
I don't know. I think...
Let's be honest, mate. The average football fan is not necessarily the most rational thinking person. So they sink to the low. And I think it'll just be like that. The whole time he's at Palace, he'll just run a roll. I'm not going to say the word... we get a theme park, he's just going to ride the wave.
Yeah, I just think he's lost a lot of trust. I mean, reading the vitriol that's on social media at the moment, and it's just everyone, like, people were, they're not happy with Hodgson. That's completely wrong. But they're like, it's not Roy's fault. Roy's trying to come back to save his boyhood club. Fantastic. Thank you, Roy. Not that we want him there, but they are all in on Parrish. All of them. And I've never seen it like that. Normally there's a couple of Parrish, like, apologists, and they're like, no, he's fine. It's not, he saved the club. He's done all this. But that, not one of them. I've not seen one person say that. They're all like, this is on him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's,
We just wait and we see. Because I said, if we finish this season comfortably standing up, everyone will turn around and do the right thing.
See, that's what I think that's the other thing people are concerned about. I think we'd have stayed up comfortably with Vieira. So we say we do stay up comfortably with Roy. Yeah, and everyone's like, that was how Paris was selling it. I needed a change.
But one of it is fact. We've stayed up easily with Roy. The other thing is a hypothetical. I can guarantee you,
true,
when he sacks the ball, there are people going, he doesn't know what he's doing, blah, 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 blah. I don't trust Parrish anymore. He's this, he's that. And what, 6 years later, we're still in the Premiership, sitting in 12th again, perennially in 12th. The only thing I'll predict is that...
Finishing 12th.
No, for the end of the next... Funnily enough, that's what I said in my pre-season predictions. By the end of the next game week, we will not be 12th. That's all I'm going to say.
No chance.
Unless we beat Leicester, obviously. And then we are 12th. But anyway, I don't think we will be.
But enough of the pessimism from Dale. It's time to get back to the important stuff, the grand final of the Petonque, where Mark Werner and myself, having won our first two matches, surely you would think we were practically formalities for the gold medal in the National Meetup Championships. If it were to be that we were perhaps denied that opportunity or beaten by a better side, you could only assume that, given our character, we would accept the decision and we would accept any loss with humility and good grace.
Hey, so, Mark, we've just heard, and I mean, let's be honest, I'm Team Rob Seltzer here. This is disgraceful. Two wins out of two. Turns out, doesn't get into the gold medal game. South Australia, shit state, shit place. I like the club de Petonque. I liked Alan, I liked them all. They can all get fucked, to be honest.
It's actually rose gold. So it's still kind of a win when you think about it, but these guys are banging big scores. I mean, you guys were limping past that. Well, we're getting wins, but only just.
Shelley and Scott dragging their ass around, wasting time, pulling hammies, carrying on. Is it your throw? Is it my throw? Are we singles? Are we doubles?
What's doing that?
Incredible. I was of the assumption that in a knockout tournament, if you don't lose, you don't get knocked out. But
you would think so.
But turns out we were wrong.
What happened?
We've got Jimmy Fletcher over here. It's just massive controversy.
How good are rules, right? Rules are great, aren't they?
Jimmy Fletcher, who's in the gold medal playoff. Rules are great, apparently. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Technically,
you didn't deserve to go through. That's what rules are for. And they must be followed to the letter of the law.
Okay, so while I agree with you, Jimmy, my counter-argument would have been nice if we'd known the rules before the game started.
Not relevant.
I think at this point we should have gone to the fucking races.
Might catch the last, maybe?
If anyone's got any tips for Morphettville, round race 9. This is disgraceful, to be honest. It's an outrage.
It's an outrage.
It's an outrage. It's a farce. I can't believe this is going on.
VAR to no avail.
But look, to be honest, the best bocce team is not going to win today, because we've been denied the opportunity to play.
Just like football, Ned. Sometimes a better team doesn't win, mate.
As we all potentially thought early on, we thought Petonque was a shit. We thought it was a shit game, and we were right.
These filthy French and their stupid rules, mate. I tell you.
Yeah, it's the main point. Anyway, so while we're at it, I guess we'll come and take this gold medal game because, you know, someone has to. Jimmy Fletcher's thrown the first ball, and he's done very well. It's very, very close. Connor Morgan from Perth. Oh, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's a little bit further away from Jimmy than Jimmy's, but it's definitely put it into a position where if there's going to be a little nudge on the cochonnet, the ball could head towards Perth.
A few moments later.
And now we're up to Dan again. He's thrown, it's shuffled. Oh, that's a fantastic throw from Dan. And Dan from Adelaide takes the lead.
with an absolutely magnificent throw. So we're now heading into the next one. Oh, it's a good throw. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's made of things very interesting. This is a top quality game of Petanque here, ladies and gents. I think Dan still holds.
A few minutes later.
And Beer Brave Dave steps up. I don't think this is the game for him. An awful throw. Second attempt, almost as bad as the first. Beer Brave Dave, definitely not a Petanque player. He's been carried by his teammates.
2 hours later.
It's been an injury here. Connor and Dan with a 2-0 lead. There's a time limit on our games, and Connor's pulled up with cramp.
It's a fifth hammy that's gone this afternoon.
Yeah, there's been a few.
6.5 hours later.
You know what? I'm actually happy with this result. Do you know why I'm happy with this result, Mark?
Why?
I'm going to accept it. Do you know why I'm going to accept it?
Why?
Because Rob Seltzer is always wrong.
Can't argue with that.
And if I argue with a referee, then I join Rob Seltzer. Yeah. And I don't want to join Rob Seltzer. So
no,
do you know
no
what?
One does.
So do you know what? I'm going to take my bronze medal. Mm. I'm going to be happy with my bronze medal.
Yeah.
The referee is correct. The referee is always correct.
Yeah.
As we head into this third round, goodness, Connor's just had a fantastic throw. I'll tell you what I will say is, as bitter as Mark and I are about the absolutely bullshit officiating, the quality of this final has been tip top. Top notch efforts from Dan and Connor, in particular. I'm not going to give too much credit to Jimmy and Dave. It's mostly personal. It's mostly because I don't like them that much. Their bocce ability is irrelevant.
1 eternity later.
But there's a ball that is very close to the crochet, and unfortunately, I think it's Beer Brave Dave's ball.
Yeah. So much later that the old narrator got tired of waiting, and they had to hire a new one.
It looks like the Sydney crew of Dave Kendall and Jimmy Fletcher may win the bullshit tournament, not just because they didn't do anything, but also they've got a ring-in, and they're going to win by ringing. Mark Werner?
It's becoming as unofficial as it gets here. Turned into a free-for-all.
Embarrassing, to be honest.
It is embarrassing. It's.
I thought this was a proper tournament.
It's really bringing the Petanque society. It's a blemish.
It's a blemish on the Petanque society.
It's a sad day for all metal ball sports.
Eventually.
30 seconds to play, apparently, and Dan has thrown well. Oh. Dan takes the lead. I'll tell you what, this has brought it back to level. I'm not sure how you do penalties in Petanque, but this is what we're heading for at the moment. Or are we? I can't believe this, but potentially Beer Brave Dave. Oh, Beer Brave Dave may have won this. Oh, Connor Morgan has taken the lead. 10 seconds left. Here we are. I think that's it. Stop the game! Stop the game! The award of Stop the Game has been called. As we have to go to have a look, we're going to get the official word. Which ball is closer?
Red one's holding.
The double is holding, and unfortunately, I think it's Beer Brave Dave's ball. It's incredible. Beer Brave Dave, by virtue of cheating horrendously, congratulations, you've won.
I'm not cheating, you're referring to.
As a guy, as an individual who complained earlier about the officiating, you have now, by virtue of dodgy officiating, won. The bocce competition.
What dodgy officiating were we referring to here, Ned?
We're referring to the fact that the XLD Eagles didn't lose any games and didn't get the opportunity to compete.
I think that was the funniest part of the whole afternoon, to be honest with you.
Fantastic, which is fair enough. However, what I will say is it was your team that won, and it was your ball that won in the end. How do you feel? What an achievement.
I feel honoured. I mean, it was a lucky shot, but I'll take it.
Have you rethought your opinions on officials based on the fact that you have won due to questionable officiating?
I think in this case, the result was not impacted by any officiating, so, it's what it is, really.
Can you move it along? I'm all out of time cards.
Well, Mark and I have received our third place for winning all of those, but the gold medal goes to... appropriately named Bocce Boys.
We started the day as Bocce Boys, but now we are the Bocce Men.
And all bad feelings that I had have just dissipated, courtesy of Jimmy Fletcher's speech, which consisted of
We started the day as bocce boys, and we finished it as bocce men. Fully deserved.
And speaking of terrible officiating, we now return to Rob Seltzer, along with his and Dale Quarty's predictions as to whether or not we'll stay up this season.
Do you think we stay up comfortably? Or do you think we go down?
I may or may not have put $50 on us to go down at 6-1.
Damn.
I thought the odds are too good to turn down. 6-1 for a team that hasn't won so far this year. 6-1, take it.
I've got $25 a month riding on this. My own just sports.
Do I think we're gonna? Oh, that's the other thing. I'll change my phone contract. I don't know. I can't answer it. Cannot answer it.
I think the Leicester game is one of the biggest games we've had in. Arguably,
I'm not even too fussed about Leicester because for whatever reason they're in a bad season, but they're a good side. For me, the concern will be Southampton. They beat us in the cup, and they all end. You know. And James Ward-Prowse knows how to get under Wilf's skin. And then Wilf goes and there's bigger issues. And I put it in the text, everyone's now eyeing off the Palace game as a game they can win.
100% they are.
So we're going to struggle. Bournemouth, Forest last day of the season, Southampton, Leeds, Wolves. I mean, Wolves are a team we don't ever do very well against, if my memory serves me correctly.
We beat them last year.
That's right.
Yeah, we beat them away last year.
Some reason I don't think we did great. But anyway, I just think it's going to be a struggle. I really want to say we're going to stay up easily. But you can, Ned, you can cut this and have it as my dying words. I'm just not sure what's going to happen.
Oh, man, you made me nervous, Dale. Christ, you made me nervous.
Positive
Bastard.
Out of the bath water.
Bastard. All right. I'm just so pissed off at the whole situation. 10 years in the Premier League and here we are. Half a squad. Same problems. Same old problems. Like, we just need to pick a philosophy, bring a manager in for that philosophy and buy players for that philosophy and then know who the next manager will be after that. Like, once this guy's gone, if he does well, he's gone in 18 months anyway from us. That's how we are. That's what we are. But they'd be like, okay, this guy's in the Belgian first division or the Russian league or the French league. And this is the pool of managers that we want to go for once Guy A leaves, because he will leave if he's done well. If he has
in that situation, because you should be able to develop as a club. The only reason someone leaves is because a big boy takes them.
Exactly. That's what I'm
and
saying.
The big
if he does well,
don't come around very often. So you shouldn't even be in that situation as a club.
I reckon we beat Leicester. Rodgers is sacked. Rodgers is our manager in 2 weeks. 3 weeks. How about that?
Let's see. Let's wait and see. Fingers crossed.
I'd take that. I'd bite your hand off for that. Bite your hand off. Anyway. Well, that's a positive spin on things, isn't it? That's good. Mm. Up the Palace. Up the bloody Palace.
With Rob Seltzer being positive about the return of Roy Hodgson, and myself criticising officials, it's a topsy-turvy world, and we're nearly at the end of a very messed up pod about a quite messed up club at this stage. The only thing left to do is to return for a final time to Adelaide, where we caught up with Mark Werner, myself, and Chris Jordan to announce the national meetup host for 2024.
So Jimmy Fletcher and Dave Kendall have won the bocce with their fill-in friend, who we will speak to later. They then also won the quiz, which again was dubious, based on the fact that one of the answers was wrong, but that's okay. No one got with the wrong answer. So officiating's been a problem, but as I've always said, officiating you can't complain, you can't control, you can't talk about, it's an unknown. A lot of positivity for Jimmy, for Dave. However, the real winner of the weekend, despite not getting the quiz, he finished third in the quiz, finished third in the bocce, dubiously, but has earned the hosting rights for the 2024 National Meetup. Our wonderful co-host, the Australian Shakespeare, the wordsmith himself, Marky Werner. We're going back to Brisbane in 2024. It's been a while. Excited.
Very excited, mate. Very excited. We're heading back to Vegas.
next year, 2024. Brief discussion had during the presentation of who was going to host. Big Jimmy didn't have the stones to host. It is Sydney's turn. If we turn the clock back and go back to where it all began, he's passed the baton, so the torch has been lit and it's making its way ever so slowly to Brisbane, which is where we'll be hosting. As you did mention earlier, Ned, for whatever reason, I didn't cheat and I just went off the top of me dome. Managed third in the quiz, which I'm absolutely gobsmacked by.
None of us have cheated, Mark. I mean, we played with honour in the bocce. You yep. played with honour in the quiz.
Yep.
Both of those things were punished, to be honest, by filthy cheats.
Yep.
In the bocce, we were undefeated, didn't win. We're also joined by Giordo, who's here at the moment, who, having had a bit of a conversation, Giordo was the one that decided to grab the reins and just announce Brisbane as the winner. We've heard from Mark. He's a thoroughly deserving host. Why have you decided Brisbane?
Well, actually, Sydney got nominated a few times, but we asked Sydney if they wanted it, and they said no. They weren't up for it. They, you know, bottled it, really, just scared.
They did also disappear last night.
Sydney was also late too. Bocce today, you know, so deduct points off that. They shouldn't actually win the tournament.
I mean,
being late.
Look, Giordo, I agree with you, but we maybe won't mention that given that Mark and I were in the same Uber.
But you had reps here. They had no one.
Probably, as everyone would know, the 2032 Olympic Games have been held in Brisbane. So I think it's only a natural precursor to that. That the 2024 Crystal Palace National Meetup will be held in Brisbane next year, just to sort of warm the cockles and get momentum happening for you know, the biggest sporting event in the world. That we're going to prop up and get the ball rolling.
Well, good to chat, Mark. Let's be honest, I'm happy to just be here, take part.
Yep.
I don't mind that the referees robbed us of a bocce win, but the real win tonight, it goes to you. You're the best. Let's be honest, you're always the best on ground at most of these meetups. You carry the pod, you carry our bocce team, you carry everything else. You might as well carry the meetups. Sydney boys can get fucked. They don't deserve to win. Love your work. We'll see you in Brisbane 2024.
Mate, it's a mantle I'm happy to have and carry, and look, seriously, looking forward to an even bigger and better meetup in Brisbane than the last one. Look forward to seeing everyone there next year.
It was beautiful. Mr. Werner's photograph was clearly not him. And if it was him, it was an impersonator. It was literally, if there's a web picture somewhere, please compare it. Because
dearest listeners,
Mr. Werner, please stand up, because that is not the guy on that photograph. Sorry, it was Tango Man. It was all wrong.